the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome back to the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, the best place to spend a Monday night. Although the Bugle podcast says that you should turn us off and turn off TFTC and turn off what Bitcoin did and listen.
Who the heck is the Bugle podcast?
I think, is it a like comedy podcast? Is it like the Bitcoin Bugle? Is that what it is? I have no idea. It sounds like it might be, but anyway, we'll talk to them. Shout out to Boomer for turning us on to that. We were mentioned at the end of that show. How dare they tell people to stop listening to us. Pretty legit company, though, I will say. Like, those are fucking huge shows they mentioned us with. Anyway, my name is Joey. That's Len. And we have a lot of
I'm not shilling a ledger. Before
we start, how that car? Yeah, what's going on over there?
Ah, Joey, I'm good. You know what? This Friday, Joey, I'm going to have to say it. Fucking finally playing some golf. This is great.
We knew that. Right
now, two Fridays in a row. So the summer of Len officially begins this week. Can't wait. How about you, Joey? How are you?
I'm good, man. Been like deep in draft stuff for the NFL. Redskins obviously have the second pick. Commanders, whatever, the second pick. Quarterback on the board here. Big deal. Looking forward to it.
Heath Shuler? Are they going to draft him?
It's going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I don't know who it's going to be, but what do you think about this? Most teams, I guess, when they do the quarterback visits or the top 30 visits, they, I guess, bring in the players one at a time. The Redskins brought in the top three quarterbacks for visits at the same time. And instead of doing them at the stadium, took them to Topgolf. Your thoughts?
Let them challenge each other and see if they could. Who's still in charge? Is it Schneider? Is he the
no, he sold, he sold the team. He sold the team so, finally.
Under new management, so this isn't part of. So maybe it's a good strategy. You know,
I actually like it. So I'll tell you this is like a little bit inside baseball, but people who watch football will know this. Daniels, I think, is the consensus kind of number two guy now. And what they did was pick him up from the airport at a separate time than the other two were picked up from the airport, and told him in the car that they were going to do Topgolf altogether, so they could see his reaction. And it wasn't good. His agent got on Twitter pretty quickly after that and called the whole thing unprofessional, blah, blah, blah. So interesting stuff. I think if they don't draft him, it will have served this purpose. I'm interested in seeing that. And Mark Mick in the chat saying the hockey playoffs are on too. I watched a bit of the Leafs game Saturday night. Not impressive at all. The Leafs, 4-0, I think, or 4-1. Yeah, to Boston. I mean, Boston's got their number in a major way, man, ever since that, 4-1 comeback in game 7. Like, was that? That was probably 11, 12 years ago now, maybe longer, actually. I think I was like 25.
After my time, I don't know.
Yeah, not good. So the draft is this Thursday. That's good. I'm looking forward to that. But otherwise, no, summer's good, man. Things are going well over here. No complaints. Looking forward to the conference in, 3 weeks? Something like that. So I'll be traveling to Quebec, my wife and I, to take in the sights, do a little panel work, and enjoy the scene.
You know what? I got to say, thank you for the invite to Innocente Brewery. Is this on Saturday? There was a halving party which I attended. I showed up very late because I had a bunch of family functions to attend that day, but it was a lot of fun, Joey. People were asking, "Where the heck are you?"
I was winning another beer league title on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I was repping the CVP. The mantle. I was repping the CVP that day, and it was a lot of fun. So we had somebody even jumping on and doing some singing. So
I saw that. It's like a poetry slam or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know what it was, but I was chatting and I forget with whom, and all of a sudden, I was like, I have to record this fucking thing. By the way, there was a bunch of people I met for the first time that listened to our show.
Nice.
And it is a really good time to, just chill with some Bitcoiners. Too bad I should have played, but whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is. Well, why don't we do the sponsors? We have two of them. They're great, both from EasyDNS. Mark's been with us a long time, more than a year and a half now, I think. He's been hanging around, you and me. And we use his service for our website, CanadianBitcoiners.com. You should check that website out. Check out what's coming every week and research reports, which I wrote in haste on Sunday this week with a little bit of a stinger. If you want to host a website, you can do it EasyDNS. You can buy the domain through Mark. You can transfer a domain you already own over to EasyDNS, the superior option for people who want to do website hosting. On top of that, you can do all the things you like with virtual private servers. So if you want to do a Bitcoin node, you want to do a Nostr relay, free communication, uncensorable. You want to do a BTC pay server implementation. You want to do node lists. You want to do whatever. He can help you with that. You can write emails under your new domain name to your friends and family or to your clients, to whoever you want. We have emails at CanadianBitcoiners.com that we haven't used or maybe even spun up yet. I'm not sure, but we're going to do that at some point, and you'll see that. GPG, PGP, and GPG, both of them available to you if you use these DNS. Whatever you want to do when it comes to a new website, Mark is your guy. And if you just catch him in the chat or stop him on the street or I don't know, maybe you follow him into the bathroom, take a piss next to him. Don't leave the usual one urinal buffer, and ask him any questions you have about getting easy DNS on your side. Use our code CBP Media. Drop it in the, I don't know, what is it? I guess there's a promo code box somewhere on that website. And you get 50% off your first round of purchases with EasyDNS. You can't beat it. I guarantee once you go, you'll never leave. So definitely check them out.
And you know, there's a lot of people are flocking over at EasyDNS. We've learned that. And this is very good. Yeah.
This is very strong. You guys, I mean, people at Bitcoin want to build stuff. And, you know, Mark is a proven builder. I mean, look at the guy's career and, you know, his sort of stature in the web world. He's a guy you want to know what he's up to. And you don't get that way without knowing how to build stuff. And people go to him because he can help them. So that's, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
And another bunch of people that will help you out, and they know a whole bunch, are Bull Bitcoin, right? Bull Bitcoin, great place to buy your Bitcoin. I don't know what the price of Bitcoin is. Oh, I see behind you, 64K. So yeah, I mean, decent price to buy, decent price to sell. You got the option to do both with Bull Bitcoin. And if the fees are high, which they are, at least earlier today, they were, you know, in my opinion, rather high. You don't have to buy or sell on chain. You could also do this with Lightning, right? You know, Lightning is great for these transactions when fees are high, and it's there, it's going to back you up with some cheap transaction. So yeah, Bull Bitcoin will be able to do that for you. But not just that, you could also pay your bills with your Bitcoin. So if you bought Bitcoin through this whole run up, and you know, you're sitting on a stack of Bitcoin that, you know, you have amazing gains on it, you've made it, so you can start spending it by paying your bills with it through Bull Bitcoin. You could pay your electricity bill, you could pay your water bill, whatever the heck you want to pay. Also, you could buy gift cards. Another thing, you know, if you have your Bitcoin and you made a lot of money on it, it's, you can just buy these gift cards and spend it in a real world, right? And then you could spend that just the way you're spending your Bitcoin indirectly with those gift cards. So with Bull Bitcoin, a lot of different options. The last thing they have, and ending, I think, May 7th, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, and the rest, you go to Canada Post with cash. They'll load up your Bull Bitcoin account.
Yes, sir.
And you could buy some KYC free Bitcoin, but May 7th is the end date for this service. There may be something coming. I don't know. Nothing official. Nothing told to me formally or informally. I have no clue. But at least you have options now. So you stack away. Keep adding to your KYC free stack with Bull Bitcoin. It's the cheapest available in Canada. And if you use our promo code and open up an account, $21 will be added to your account once you provide the necessary information and fund it. And you're good to go.
You love to see it. I guess we'll start before the boost, some housekeeping this week, tomorrow morning. Tom and Aiden, his son, Karadza, will be at Chez Moi. Can't remember if it's
Chez New.
No, Chez New is our house. I think it's Chez Moi.
Isn't it yours and your wife?
Nah, but I mean, for the show's purposes, she's not going to be here. Anyway, they'll be at my house and we'll be talking about Bitcoin, the economy, a bunch of other stuff. I hope Tom doesn't wear a flowered shirt like he did at the Your Life, Your Terms event. I don't know who okayed that. I'm not sure what the social team at Rockstar Real Estate was doing that day, but I'm looking forward to talking to them both. It's always fun to talk to Tom and Aiden because they, you know, they see things very similar, and you can see the kind of, you know, passage of the knowledge from father to son there, which is outstanding. Something Bitcoiners are always proud to be a part of, this sort of lineage and family growth. And then I don't think we have anything Wednesday. We're just one interview this week, right?
Just one interview. And I am the last, you won't see me for 2 weeks.
You're going away. No,
yeah. Yeah. I'm on hiatus. So yeah, I have no interview scheduled for this week. I have no interview scheduled for next week. There was one scheduled for this week, I think. Yeah, there was one, and it was scheduled to like June or something.
Okay, yeah. No, but I mean, it's good. So we got, we'll be busy this weekend next regardless. And then what else is going on? I don't know.
Do we have anything else? Next week, we have the one that's the reason why I'm disappearing for a couple of weeks.
So we have Bitcoin Magazine on Tuesday. Mark and Dave Bailey will be here. And then I think, we don't have a break in interviews at all so far. We did last summer, but I don't think this summer we're going to have that luxury. It doesn't look like, eh?
Nah, people want to come on and we want to have people on.
Yeah, for sure.
Continue
for
the
sure.
trend. Yeah, it's a streak, you know, keep it up. So anything else you want to knock off before we go to Boost?
I think that's it. We may as well go to the Boost and then hop into the news. Tons to talk about today.
Yeah, well, Wedge Social, 419 sats. So Wedge
Wedge hit us with 419, not 420? Dan, come on, man.
He's on Nostr and he's very active and he's always communicating with us. So at least me. I'm not sure if you're on Nostr, but I love that guy. Anyways, he writes in, love this one, gents. First of the five, Joey hasn't defended his Coinbase position. So you've been defending it apparently, but last week you weren't.
I just don't know. Like, look, I'll be honest with you, okay? There's a part of me that's glad that I DCA'd for a while into Coinbase and, you know, now it's in the green by a long shot. But part of me is also just like, man, these guys just can't seem to figure it out. And I plan on selling at some point in the not too distant future just because I just don't want to deal with Armstrong anymore. I just can't trust the guy, which again, I've said this a million times. It sucks because he got the woke thing so right, so early. And so publicly, and just hasn't gotten anything else right basically the entire time when it comes to Bitcoin. So whatever, it is what it is. You know, you take the gains when you got them and get out while they're getting good.
Bold BTC Dick, 500 sats. Thank God for Bitcoin. Short and sweet. That's all he writes.
Agreed.
Doug and Roop, 1,000 sats. Well said, Joey. Now let's get after making Epoch 5 the best yet. This is with respect to your Orange episode. This came out of the blue, by the way. I didn't even know that you were recording.
We talked about this like a month and a half ago. Jeff from What Bitcoin Did, who's a friend of ours, a friend of mine for sure. I mean, I've been on his show when him and Doug used to do it together. Long time ago now, it was around the time I got married. And, you know, I keep in touch with him. He's a good Bitcoiner. He's done a lot of fun interviews. And, you know, I want to support what people are doing when it comes to podcasting. And he reached out and I think got a number of podcasts to do it. Rock, Paper, Bitcoin did it. We did it. And I think a handful of others put out something short or to the point or not so to the point on Halving Day, just about Bitcoin, orange pilling and, you know, how to get people on board. So yeah, I was happy to do that. Did it in one take. It was fun. Something to do on a Friday afternoon. And yeah, glad you guys enjoyed it.
ON21, 1,000 sats. Made last year's conference and loved it. This year, I decided to stack sats instead. But this episode is giving me nasty case of the FOMOs. Sounds like it's going to be awesome. Shame hotels, etc. are such a fucking ripoff. And
yeah.
With respect to your interview with Plate Licking Pleb.
Montreal hotels are expensive. I'll tell you that. I found a low-cost-ish one, I think, anyway, because I want to be responsible with the cash. But yeah, not pretty. I know a few people who are paying quite a bit more than me to stay near the conference. So I'm a little bit further than I want to be, but I think overall it's a decent trade-off. Conferences are great, man. It's like Lem was saying about the meetup on the weekend for the halving. You get around these people who share the same mindset and same reference points that you do. And it's energizing in a way that your, you know, normie life is just never going to be. So it's, you know, there's pros and cons to paying the ticket price. But I think at the end of the day, for me anyway, I mean, I can't really say it's worth it. I didn't pay for a ticket, but I'm on stage. So I would say that broadly, if you want to just hang out in Montreal for a day, maybe go to Plate's after party, get a hotel room and see the city with your, you know, better half or something. I don't know. It's a decent idea. I'm bringing my wife. Should be a good time.
Northstar Weld Service, 10,000 sats. Thank you very much. He writes in, this month is my 3-year anniversary for getting into Bitcoin. I'm still learning so much and don't have a lot of sats, not a life-changing amount. But for the first time in my life, I have real savings. I'd like some advice on how not to get anxiety when I see a dip of 2% or more. I've been DCAing weekly all through the top and bottom these last few years, but I still crap myself when it drops from 70K to 61K in a week. I know this is Bitcoin, but for how long before I feel comfortable? Ever? I mean, if you've been in for 3 years, you were in the highs of 2021, two highs, and then the absolute lows of, what was it, the end of 2022?
I'm guessing FTX, something like that, right? Yeah.
So if you experience that, 71 to 61K is a drop in the bucket. Like, until this gets to like four digits, until I see less than 10,000, then I'm like, figure what the hell is going on. But until then, anything is going to be possible. And for me, there's no anxiety. This thing goes where it wants, and I'm just going to buy when it's low, and I'm going to buy when it's high too. So
animal spirits, right? I think I would start to like sweat. I mean, not sweat is the wrong term. I would be pissed if it got under 50, I think, but you just wouldn't be able to shake me out under almost any circumstances. Like, there's just almost no way that you'd be able to shake me out, because you'd have to imagine that like a price move down from, you know, wherever we are now, 64, 65 to, what did you say? Four digits.
Like, yeah, you gotta think. Before.
Yeah. It has to be a temporary thing, right? It'd have to be like a shock that caused that kind of price move. And, you know, we recover from that kind of stuff. We always do.
No, you have to get to suggest what number I'm coming up with. It has to be some coordinated attack. Where I guess a bunch of prominent countries out there ban Bitcoin exchanges, ban Bitcoin mining, and do a whole bunch of stuff like that. It won't stop it. It will certainly shake out the lettuce hands out there, but the reality is Bitcoin will go down hard in that case. But for that to happen, for this type of an attack to take place, it's highly unlikely. But even then, if it ever gets to under 10,000, like, then I'd start wondering what the hell's going on. But I'd probably just sell everything I have to buy some more at that point. But whatever. Yeah, this is Bitcoin. Enjoy the ride. This is fun.
Yeah. And the memes and the spaces and the podcasts after huge price dips, like, it's always a good time. We try and have fun with it anyway. We've done a pretty good job with that, I think, over the years. So I've seen a few, you know. I think the other thing too is that it sounds like, you know, if you've been in for 3 years, you got to figure during those huge dips, he probably didn't have that much sitting in Bitcoin, and now maybe he does. And so those dips are a little more startling than they were 2 years ago. I know I used to feel like that. Like in 2017, 18, when the price was super low and, you know, it dropped $1,000, that was from like, you know, $1,000 drop was like from 5,000 to 4,000 in 2017, 18. That was like, you know, we were in failed experiment territory there after the ICO thing. And those were, you know, drops I wasn't thrilled with, but I didn't really have that much money parked in there. Now it's a bit of a different ball game. And even though I have more of my savings in Bitcoin, the drops don't bother me almost at all anymore. Like you said, short of like a coordinated attack that would like give me a bit of a scare, it's really hard to get. I can't imagine a situation where I'd be like, I got to get out. It just wouldn't happen, I don't think, for me. I don't know. Also, 100%. This is the whole point of cold storage. Like, if you want to take some emotion out of it, get your wallets away from you. Like, don't keep them anywhere where you can just like reach into a drawer and grab them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the other piece of the equation, I think.
Agreed. Okay. Joey, ready to dive into the stories? Because we got a bunch we got to talk about today.
Shall we?
It's going to be a fun one. Okay. Well, let's talk, I guess, the biggest news this past week, which is the Bitcoin halving. We can't gloss over this. And okay, let's just briefly talk about, for people that just don't know, because there are some people that are probably new to the show. They're figuring, what the heck's the Bitcoin halving? What is it? It's Bitcoin has an issuance schedule, a set issuance schedule. On average, every 10 minutes, a certain amount of Bitcoin is released to a particular miner that mined or built a block. So this reward is cut in half every 4 years. And this past week, we underwent yet another one of these occurrences. This is the fourth time this has happened in Bitcoin's history where the rewards were cut in half. So for those keeping count, the first halving took place November 2012, followed by July 2016, May 2020, and now April 2024. And for roughly the next 4 years, miner rewards are going to be 3.125 Bitcoin on average every 10 minutes, plus the fees. So I don't want to talk about something which is taking up a lot of the Bitcoin bandwidth these days, which is the spam. Just yet. We'll talk about that in a moment, in just a few minutes. But this is really, I just want to say, this is the first halving that I've been really a part of. I did own Bitcoin back in May 2020. I bought Bitcoin, I think, in December 2017 when I first got in. But the last halving, I'll be honest, I didn't celebrate all that much. it was during the turmoil of everything being shut down and all that stuff. But this time around, I'm very cognizant of it, right? And all the celebrations that came with it, and I'm very happy that I also attended one of these celebrations back at Saturday at Innocente Brewery in Waterloo. So it was nice to see a lot of Bitcoiners. It's nice to see a lot of people I knew. It's nice to meet people that I'd never met before. It's great chatting with everybody out there. So this halving has come and gone. There's been a lot of hoopla around it. And you know what? We'll see you all in 4 more years, Joey. I'm not sure if you want to add anything to that.
Is the halving priced in?
Sure. I'm totally no disconnected idea. From the price.
Yeah, at this point, I really don't know.
I don't care about the price.
I did see that since the halving, I think there was one, who was it? Probably Kruger or one of these guys posted that now like just iBit is buying significantly more than the daily issuance. You got to be cautious of these stats because the issuance is one piece of the available Bitcoin, but there's a lot of sellers, as we talked about before, that will be drawn to market by price action. So iBit is buying, you know, some of the issuance, maybe from the miners, some OTC, some open market. So I would be cautious of those stats. I don't think the halving is priced in because it's just such a significant supply change that it almost can't be. Now, the question for people who think it's priced in would be, why aren't all subsequent halvings also priced in? You know, like why don't we see price accelerating anyway, this is like too much think boy nonsense, but halving, so, you know, great, super. You didn't do anything for the first halving? I thought we were probably trading messages that day. I don't know. Maybe
I don't think so. Remember, we were knee deep in
the closure. It had just started basically. Yeah, it just started.
2 months ago, and we're just starting to like open up and enjoy whatever the good weather was offering us back in May.
Yeah.
So I remember that vividly. Like we're starting to golf again. Some of the course we went to, by the way, it was like a great day. Actually, I'll even say this. This was funny. The first course we went to, it rings a bell. This is all Accelerate talk. That's why. So we went to the course, right? We played and it was fucking full. The course was immaculate because it was the first time anybody's been on that year. It was May and normally it's a little bit beat up at that point. And, you know, idle chit chatter with somebody else that nearby, they weren't part of our group. Like, yeah, good day to play golf. He's like, yep, I'm even getting paid to do this. So he was on serve or something. Accelerate, brother, accelerate. Because you're getting paid to play golf.
Those were the days.
Yeah. So that's it for the halving stuff. I'm not sure if you want to add anything else.
We're done. We're done. Happy halving. Glad everyone made it. Let's make Epoch 5 one to remember.
All right. Well, with the halving came a lot of spam, and this came in the name of runes. And this is really just the enabling of shitcoining on Bitcoin, sorry. And it's the minting of trash. A lot of people so far have lost great sums of money. And whatever. Miners and scammers out there, they're laughing at all these degens because they're the ones that are profiting from this. And since runes went live, and it went live on the halving, a lot of people like myself were looking and wondering what was going to happen with the fees. And well, looks like, you know, there was a slow progression of fees that was rising up towards the halving just a few days before it. But what happened on the halving day was absolutely fucking nuts because there were some blocks out there that were averaging about over 1,000 sats per V-byte. And that's a lot considering where we were just a few weeks ago, where it was single digits. That's, you know, in grand scheme of things, that's in the same amount. But let's go over some of the things that just happened, right? As a result of this, Bolts is the swapping service. Mm-hmm. They went offline because the fees were just too high. Surprisingly, Coinbase stayed online. I thought for sure they would have gone down, but
Coinbase goes offline in a full moon. They're always offline looking for a reason.
Someone did some analysis and they came up with some interesting numbers. The 130 blocks after this halving netted miners almost 1,700 Bitcoins from fees and block rewards. The previous halving netted a little bit more, over 1,200 Bitcoin. Yeah. So significantly more Bitcoin was raised by miners this time around, almost 50% more. And that's even taking into consideration the halving cut in half. Oh, sorry.
The issuance.
So that's there's, it goes to show you how much is being spent on transaction fees. People are spending money left, right, and center for absolute trash. And the halving block, that was really interesting. It had over 40 BTC in reward from that just one block. Well, who was it? Via BTC that won? I forget who won it. But anyways, there's lots of interest in that particular block. And again, it's mostly driven by spam and scams. And don't get caught up into that, though. And we have to look at the transaction fees, right? If you go look at what's going on today and you want to see how this looks historically, Bull Bitcoin came up with this new website called feemultiple.bullbitcoin.com. feemultiple.bullbitcoin.com. And from that, you could see how much the transaction fees are today in comparison to the last 30 days and in comparison to the past year. So if you think fees are high and you want to do a transaction, this may deter you from doing it. Or if you think fees are average price and you want to do a transaction, this information may deter you from doing it or may encourage you to do it. Either way, I like this initiative from Bull Bitcoin. So check this out. It's a really cool website. It gives you a visual display in comparison to 30 days in the last year. There it is, Joey. It's awesome. And does it say extremely high? So yeah, basically, unless you have money to burn and you really have to get a transaction through, I would say wait on chain. Do it on Lightning. Those are the options I would say. But, you know, it's up to you. And so UTXO consolidation. I was talking about this for quite a while. I hope that everybody has executed all of them before the halving date, because now it's going to be even more costly to consolidate your UTXOs. These fees, these high fees, they won't last forever. They may last for days, weeks, or months. Who the hell knows? Eventually, they're going to run out of money. Mm-hmm. But until then, consolidating transactions, your UTXOs, is just not going to be a cheap endeavor. So next time you get a cheap opportunity to do it, take advantage and do it, because you'll be left just always wondering, what should I have done? But anyways, this is also a good opportunity for people to learn what's going to happen in a permanently high fee environment. Let's be honest, Bitcoin, the on-chain, doesn't scale very well. And as more people start to get on board, companies, countries, etc., what this means is that it's going to be more clogged and it's going to be more difficult to get your transaction through on-chain. So it's a good time to learn the alternatives out there. I've mentioned Lightning, and that is one. There may be others out there that works for you as well. Check them out. Learn how to use it, because this might be how we will be using Bitcoin in the future once Bitcoin is used by more and more people. Using it on chain just is not really going to be an option for us. Also, if you have a Lightning node, hopefully you've opened a channel. If not, wait until it's cheap and then open a channel then, because that only makes sense to do. Take advantage when fees are cheap, and then you're going to reap the rewards when fees are not. And the last thing I just have to say through all this, with this runes and all this fucking garbage, is don't be a fucking degen. There's so many people out there that lost thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. I've an awesome post by Francis about this, and he just was copying and pasting some posts on Twitter. I can't believe how much people are paying to try to mint fucking trash. Yeah. And they lost their money. It's gone. It's done. They're never going to be able to recoup it. Don't fall into this trap. This stuff is only there. It's a pump and dump. There are people out there are going to fucking take your money and laugh at you for doing it. And really, the ones that are going to make it take advantage here are the miners. Well, they're not taking advantage. They're just part of the system. But also these scammers out there. Don't fucking feed into this. Learn to buy Bitcoin. Put it in a cold storage. Joey mentioned doing this early in the show. Doing what I'm saying right now is the best thing for you. Don't get involved in all that other garbage. Don't trade. Don't do leverage garbage. Just buy spot, cold storage. You're good. That's my
super high risk, man, playing in that rune landscape. Like, I went on Spaces Friday night, which ended up being the halving night. I was on there a bit Saturday and a bit yesterday and today. A lot of rune talk, a lot of people trying to pump their bags. You're allowed to do that. But I don't recommend it for the sort of average Bitcoiner, because like Len said, like, the best case scenario is you're taking a chance with your Bitcoin, and it's unwise to do that. You would never take a chance with your Bitcoin in other places. You know, you wouldn't go to Bit Casino or whatever McCormick is advertising on fucking What Bitcoin Did, and, you know, play the roulette wheel with your Bitcoin. Why would you do it with runes? You could argue the roulette wheel actually gives you better odds, but Anyway, story for another time. At least the roulette wheel doesn't have a Discord that's dumping on retail. So you got that going for you if you're at the wheel. Let's talk about some of the second order effects of runes and stuff like that. I think there's an argument to be made, or one that's been made by the runes people and by Rodimer himself, that this is helping the security budget because it's forcing transaction fees up. Fine, I guess. But the problem is, when you put more Bitcoin in the hands of miners, what you're really doing is giving Bitcoin to institutions and entities that are always going to be sellers, period, end of story, either forced or willing. They're not holding Bitcoin on a balance sheet. Bitcoin in the treasury for a miner is not a good idea. It doesn't make sense. And it's these guys wind up being forced sellers a lot of the time. So you're giving a lot of Bitcoin to what ends up being these people who are going to cause negative price pressure. I'm not sure that's good for the security budget, because if miners can't operate, then, you know, that's bad for hash rate, number one. Okay, so I think he's wrong about that. Maybe short term, you might get a little bit of a pump like we saw on the weekend. And I know you're saying like sometimes last weeks and months, I would say land it last hours more often than not. You know, you might see these rips to $100 a transaction for high priority, but then right now it's like 12 or 13. I just looked. It's like, $13 American. So what is that? You know, 20 Canadian, something like that. By this time next year, it'll be 60 Canadian, 13 American, but we'll save that story for the budget talk. The problem, I think, is that you wind up, like I said, giving this stuff to miners. Miners want to be sellers. That's the nature of their business. Not good, number one. Number two, the runes thing is just, I think it's just BRC20, but more efficient. I'm, you know, ashamed to say, but also I do it for the people who listen to this program. I listened to Casey Rodimer on a podcast last week. Do you know what podcast he was on?
Bankless?
Bankless. And I listened to him on Bankless. The really sad thing, and I don't, maybe sad is not the right word, but the thing that's confusing to me as an observer, and I'm not necessarily like, I'm not as dead set against all this as you are, although I think we agree that this is on the whole not a good thing for Bitcoin. What I don't get is he seems to me, when he speaks about Bitcoin and the mission behind Bitcoin, he sounds like we do. But then when he talks about stuff like runes, he explicitly says it's like for the degens. I don't get how you can think one of those things and the other at the same time. It's hard for me to square that circle. I also think that, you know, one thing we couldn't figure out last time we talked about Rodimer in depth was, is he making any money on this Ordinals thing? I don't know that he did necessarily, outside of like the Hell Money podcast or whatever else they did, you know, kind of like second order effects of the sudden fame. But it sounds to me like he's reserved a couple of BRC20 like ticker symbols on runes or whatever, and maybe has a way to make money on that. That's his prerogative, of course. But if you play in that game, like you're entering into an ecosystem where you are at a disadvantage right away against someone who, you know, knows that they're going to be dumping on you at some level. And the whole thing just is, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I don't like it very much. I think the last time we talked about Casey, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said that, you know, he's a developer. He can do this on Bitcoin if he wants. It's within the rules. This is, of course, within the rules as well. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense from a reputational point of view. Like, do you think your reputation is going to get better or worse when the people you're bringing into Bitcoin are quote unquote degens and gamblers, and the people who are leaving as far as your core support are people who have been in Bitcoin as long as you, contributed to the ecosystem growth and contributed to the mission, the nature of the mission as it kind of stands today? It isn't good. This reminds me a lot of Isaiah's Job, which is a story I've been thinking about a lot that Francis turned me on to, you know, more than a year ago now, about how when you have a mission like this, you basically have two choices. You can either cater to the masses by watering down your mission to bring people aboard, and then realize when it's too late that the masses were never going to help you move the ball forward anyways, and the mission's lost all potency, and you've kind of just become another piece of straw in the bale of hay. The other option is that you stay on the extreme, the fringe, you know, keep the teeth in your mission and stay focused on what you believe is right. And you find that people who are as extreme and as focused as you find you and help support your cause. I think he's doing the first. Now, I would argue, and I, you know, I think this is one of the reasons I want to talk to David Bailey next week too, and Mark, although less Mark about this, because I think he's, you know, already on board with a lot of this stuff. But the third option, I think, is should the people who have this mission focus try and convince other people who seem to be equally as focused on different or conflicting things to come to their side? I think you could make that case so that maybe there's three options in total. I don't see Rodimer as doing either of the two that would help Bitcoin. And to me, that's the most frustrating thing. He doesn't have a vested interest or a need to run a company like Bailey, for example. He also probably has tons of Bitcoin land, and so chances are he doesn't need the money. And yet I find that he's doing things that would indicate to me that maybe neither of those things are true, or he actually cares more about bringing in degens than he does about making Bitcoin a success. It's unbelievable to me. It just
doesn't make any sense. What do you call a person that says that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I could give you some terms.
Go ahead.
Well, if he's talking one way and then doing something else, like you're saying just a little while ago, when you hear him speak, he sounds like a Bitcoiner, but in reality, the actions in which he does are anything but.
The thing is that it's not all his actions. It's just fucking this. Like the last two things, right? Like that's the thing I don't get. Like it just started. Like why after all these years, presumably when you finally, like the orange coin's at an all time high, and this is the time you choose to wear a different jersey? Why?
You know what? That's his choice. He decided to do this. You know, one could make an argument that it's hypocritical.
Sure. Yeah.
One could make that argument. You know, one could also make an argument, you know, he's just simply trying to scam people. So, I mean,
the thing is, like, he's not like the amount of money he stands to make on runes is, I would argue, I'm hypothesizing that he's got a lot of Bitcoin. He's been around. The number of dollars he stands to make here is like, it's immaterial. So I would get it more from a rationale point of view if the scam was going to enrich him, if he was trying to feather his own nest. But to me, it doesn't even look like he's doing that.
Well, there's a connection. What is he doing?
I just don't get it.
Look at the people that you're going to be inviting to come on our show next week, much to my chagrin. They are pushing some of this garbage. So, and they are enriching themselves. So there should be some way that they're enriching the people that are involved in it too. So let's be honest, you look at it, there is a trail of money. If one really wants to go down this path, they could find it and they could see who are the motherfuckers involved and the motherfuckers that are trying to profit from this at the expense of these degens coming in that, let's be honest, they're shitcoiners. And now they're talking about, and then going into the weeds here, they're talking about forcing CTV and doing a user activated software. Give me a fucking break. You know, like these are the people that you're dealing with and they're doing nothing good for Bitcoin. We're trying to modernize the monetary system and you now trying to have names out there. I don't know what the fucking these names on ruins are. I didn't even look into it, but I know that Satoshi Nakamoto is one. I think that it's fucking stupid. There's no value in that aside from, look at me, I'm playing around. Maybe I'll flip it for a great sum of money later on. That is doing nothing for modernizing the monetary system and trying to improve life for a whole bunch of people. It's just spam and scams. You know, and on the spam side of things, it's making it more difficult for people that want to make a transaction. Sure, it's in consensus. I'll fucking agree with everybody about this.
Yeah.
But you know what? A DDoS attack is a valid packet. Times a billion.
Yeah.
So that's a valid.
There's something to be said. Like sometimes I know we've talked about this before. We may agree to disagree on this, but like sometimes I think the fees we've been enjoying on Bitcoin are like, they were so low for so long. I'm not sure what the quote unquote correct fee is, but you're right. Something that pumps the fees up, you know, on the bright side, I mean, at the end of all this, we talk about this a lot on this show because it's become sort of this thing that like won't go away. But from the fee structure side of things, it always does go away. It dies down. So I'm thankful for that. I mean, I don't think a lot of this stuff has legs any more than NFTs had legs, for example, right? It's just going to die out at some point. So
it's my bigger... It's unfortunate. The people that are involved, they run an annual conference under the good name of Bitcoin. Right? That's what they do.
I mean, they're in, I don't know that they're as culpable for the runes thing as Rodimer is, but you're right. There's something to be said about that.
It's painting them all with the same fucking brush because you know what? Their actions have proven they are out there for themselves. And I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be out for number one. Absolutely, mm-hmm. should be out for number one. But come on, man. There comes a point in time you have to look in the mirror and say, I'm fucking a scammer. And that's what somebody could say about these guys.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And that's too bad. It is fucking too bad.
Go ahead.
And we're all fucking dealing with it, with these high transactions. Like I said before, the silver lining from this, though, is I think it just gives us an opportunity to realize what it's like to live in a high fee environment. Is eventually we will get to that point. So people will have to adapt to that, to learn to use something else that enables you to move Bitcoin on the cheap. So take this as a learning opportunity, because this will come again through just on its own merit, through just organic growth. So it's now a time we should start funding projects to make Bitcoin work on a global level. That's it.
Boomer in the chat asking a good question. Are you in this to make money or to fix money?
Me or?
I mean, in general, like, I don't know. I would say for me, both. Like, I'd like to enjoy some wealth along the way. I mean, this show took sponsors. So like, yeah, like I, you know, it's not a mystery. Like, we're making money doing this, but I don't know. We also try and pick our sponsors carefully. I think the broader like ideological question is like, should you try and, you know, should you sacrifice making money to do something you think fixes the money on the way? Yeah, probably. Honestly, if you think it's worth it. And some people don't seem to be doing that. Again, like I have my own set of questions for Dave and Mark next week that I think, you know, most people who listen to the show will be happy about. But I think for Casey, again, like I know we disagree on the Bitcoin magazine thing, but at least in the background of that, there's something that needs funding. With Casey, I don't get it, because the guy seems, and someone in the chat mentioned here too, like when he talked about ordinals a year ago, it was like, yeah, I really like collecting stuff and I wanted people to collect stuff on Bitcoin. It was like a kid having an imagination type explanation for why he did it. And now it's degens. And I do not understand why you would put yourself in the crosshairs like this if you didn't have to. And again, like, and maybe I'm missing something, but I would like for All Caps to chime in, because he's always got his ear to the ground a little bit and he's in the chat. I don't see how Rodimer is making any money off of this that would be significant to his, you know, future or well-being or anything. That is the thing that drives me nuts. That's the thing I don't understand.
This project could have been something on the drawing room board, and then somebody got wind of it, decided, you know what, I like this, because this is going to disrupt.
Oh, you think he got funding?
Maybe. And there's enough adversaries towards Bitcoin that it's hard to pinpoint who would be responsible for funding this. But I can say there's a number of different people, potential groups that could want to fund it. And it's not to say that this is going to bring down Bitcoin. Let's be honest. Fuck, you could, and we talked about it at the top of the show, you could have governments fucking ban mining in their jurisdiction. You could have governments ban on ramps, exchanges, and Bitcoin will still function. It will function just fine. So I'm not to say that somebody is trying to really fuck over Bitcoin, but who knows? Like, there's enough people out there that don't want to see Bitcoin succeed that have funding that may decide, you know what, let's fund this project and a whole bunch of others and make life difficult for these Bitcoiners. Just an idea. I could be totally wrong.
No, adversarial thinking is good, though. You're right. You're making a point there. Yeah.
Just, why would anybody do something like this for just shits and giggles?
For shits and giggles. Exactly.
Maybe there's something encouraging them to go that extra mile. You know, you grease palms and I'll spend a few weekends instead of partying with my friends. I'll just sit down and do some coding instead. So you can encourage people to do that. Who knows? Who the fuck?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Bitcoin All Caps is checking on relationships. Because yeah, I want to know. Like it's like you're not a rational actor. That's the thing that, anyway, whatever. We spent basically the whole first hour talking about this. So
2016, was it 2016 that there was, or 2017, there was a lot of spam on Bitcoin too. Like not a spam, but in terms of transaction fees.
The fees were high. Yeah.
Somebody was funding, or some things were funding it. Why can't even potentially the same group of losers be funding this as well?
I don't know.
It's possible. Anything is possible, but it could be even bigger entities. I'm not trying to say it is.
Like, where do you rank? try and just take your angry hat off for a sec. Where do you put the three primevals here? First, second, and third place. The Ordinals guys, the Taproot Wizards guys, and now the Rune Boys. Who's the worst? Who's the least bad?
Is the Taproot Wizards and the Ordinals guy, aren't they kind of the same?
Yeah, kind of. I would put the Taproot Wizards on their own because they're just so full of shit and annoying. So I don't want to. I even feel bad lumping them in with the Ordinals guys. Like D is like an Ordinal enjoyer. I don't think he's like a Taproot Wizard loser. You know,
he's just changed.
I don't know, but like I like D. You know, he's a reasonable guy.
I do
guy.
Too. Yeah, I gave him a hug when I saw him.
But Udi, on the other hand, is like not. He's not a reasonable guy. He's like a fucking weirdo. So I don't know. Where do you put
Did
him?
You
what's
see
your,
that?
What's your metal stand look like? No comment.
I don't even want to commit any mental energy towards that. I'll just leave it alone. I just want to see. Did you see All Caps was able to get Swan their mining operations to move and ocean. Direct all their towards ocean for just until the halving? That was pretty damn fucking cool.
Great.
Because
great.
From what they have, I think it's around 1% of the overall hash rate, just simply under Swan. So that was pretty cool that he was able to do that and they were able to oblige. Now it's too bad Ocean wasn't able to mine a block even after the halving, for like it was a dry spell for them for some time. But yeah, anyways.
Good discussion as always.
Few other topics. Let's just dive right into it. Bitcoin Core version 27.0 has been released. Okay.
We're doing software updates on this show now. When was the last time we did a software update?
There's a reason why I want to bring this up, because there is one big change, I would say big, that's in this particular release. So it's version 27.0 of Core. And so this is the inclusion of BIP 324. And this is by default, this is enabled. You could disable it if you want, but it's enabled. And the question is, what is BIP 324? It's a new peer-to-peer transport protocol. And the protocol enables a node to talk to another node. And with this, it's going to be a small reduction in bandwidth. So in that case, it's good for people that have bandwidth issues. But the real gem here is that there is an encryption that's built into this. So this enables nodes out there the ability to protect themselves from specific attacks. And it's namely the tampering of data, which can happen right now at a relatively low cost. Now, because the encryption is enabled, it makes it more expensive and takes more resources required by a bad actor in order to fuck around with nodes. And this encryption only applies, from what I understand, to Bitcoin Core 27. So if you have Core earlier version or Knots or Umbrella or whatever, if it's not running this type of BIP 324, it doesn't have the encryption enabled. So I guess over time, this is going to be propagated. More people are going to have this as enabled on their node, which is really cool. I like seeing this stuff put out there. But one thing I would suggest is don't rush to upgrade. I'm a big fan of waiting to, you know, wait a few months or maybe a little bit longer before you upgrade. And you know that it works fine. There's no bugs with it. So if you want to do it, it's not that this is like bleeding edge. It's been, you know, put through the paces, but it's still the newest of the newest. So I would suggest if you want to get it, just wait a little while, then execute it and then go from there. But yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Is this going to be widely used by the technically inclined node runners fairly soon?
I think it's
going to
be widely used by everybody, because if it's enabled by default, even people that have no fucking clue could have it
running. Fair point. I wouldn't know, because I refuse to run a node. It's like a bit now at this point, but at some point I will buy a computer that will run a node. I'll just stick it behind the camera there or something and take a picture of it to prove it.
Yeah, mine is right there. It's like 3 feet from you. It's an old
Tom and Nick. Tom and Nick have the Ronin Dojo, right? I think they're running it, or they have a Raspberry Pi. Our buddy Manny Monero, I think, has a Ronin Dojo.
I know for sure Tom and Nick have a Raspberry Pi, and they've mentioned it running Umbrel. So nice. That's not. They're doing that. And it's, yeah, when you sit on when you sit next to him on the desk, it's right there. If you see it on our side, it's the right side, and there's just left. Anyways, Brains Pool. Yes. Let's talk about Brains Pool quickly, because they started rolling out Lightning payments to the masses. Until now, it was only available to a select few who signed up. And now everybody has access to Lightning payments. And this comes with instant daily payments with no minimum or fees. Well, there is a minimum, but I'll explain it in just a second. So this is going to be a godsend out there for people who are heating their homes with very inefficient equipment, like an S9, for instance. Mm-hmm. And when you're, you know, if you are using an S9 and you had to reach the minimum payment threshold where you don't have to pay a fee, it would take forever, especially now after the halving. But using this gives you a steady stream of sats on a daily. Sure, it won't be a lot, but, you know, it's better than waiting fucking couple of years before you withdraw your money, your Bitcoin. So really cool stuff. The payment limits, though, are the minimum payment is one Satoshi. So that is the minimum. There is one.
False advertising.
But the maximum payment is 500,000 sats. That's so great. That's the range in which you're dealing with. If you're using an S9, good luck. You're not going to get the 500,000.
By 2030, you might have half of that. You know, you might be doing okay.
Maybe, yeah. So there you go. I like this. And there's going to be a lot more of this rolling out to a whole bunch of other pools out there, and it makes sense. And if you could take some of the strain, not that it's a huge strain on-chain, but it's just one less transaction that has to be dealt with on-chain and using Lightning, this is the way we have to be working moving forward. So really cool.
Agreed. Yeah, I really like this. We talked about this before when they enabled Lightning withdrawals when they first did it. These guys are innovating at a rate that almost no other pool is when it comes to adding these sort of L2 solutions and making things easier for the people who direct their hash to that pool. I'm not sure why. Well, actually, I am sure why, because the other pools aren't really, you know, Bitcoin focused as much as they are fiat gain focused. But Brains, I mean, they've been crushing it, man. I don't know what else to say except that I'm glad to see this. And I think as fees continue to go up and all these, you know, people want to take their winnings and hold them themselves, having no minimum is fantastic. It's fantastic. And it goes to show you that those guys really are mission-focused people, which is what we like on CBP. So good for them. Happy to see that.
I'll throw a little bit of mud here onto this.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
From somebody was telling me, and I don't know if he was mentioned on air or not, so I'm not going to mention his name just in case. But apparently Brains and a few other smaller ones as well, are pointing their hash rate to a larger pool out there, like Foundry, for instance. And
It's a
proxy mining, I think, was the term that was used. And yeah, there was, I have to dive deep into this, but receipts have been shared. So stuff like that makes me concerned.
Receipts, Len? What receipts?
I don't want to share just yet because I still have to dive into this. So just looking at this, I'm a little bit concerned in terms of centralization in mining in that respect, where, you know, if I am pointing my hash rate to Brains, I want Brains to be the ones that are mining. I don't want them to redirect it somewhere else. And it's not like they're doing it all the time. From what I understand, it's just done on and off. So I don't know the purpose of this. I really want to dive deep into this, but I don't have enough information to say this is definitively the case. So it's just all hearsay. Could be fun, but you know what? The dude brought receipts. So that's all I got to say is there could be some more than just smoke here. I think there's a fire looming.
Let's figure it out. I look forward to hearing more about this.
One last story, I guess we got time for.
Yeah, sure.
Binance, they did something interesting this past week, and they announced that their secure asset fund for users, that's a SAFU. It's not SNAFU, it's SAFU. This is an emergency insurance fund. This was created back in 2018 that gives some sort of protection to its users. And the fund tries to stay around the $1 billion US in value. Well, this value, this $1 billion, some of it is held, a portion of it has been held by Bitcoin and shitcoins like BNB and so forth. Predominantly, it was a stable coin, BUSD, at least as of 2022. I don't have anything more recent than that. So around 70% at that time was held by BUSD, and BNB, and remainder was like Bitcoin and other
digital else assets.
So yeah, it was really wasn't 100% stable coin, but it was a lot of it was. But now they're deciding to convert everything to USDC. So instead of having exposure to Bitcoin and other digital assets, they're going just 100% the stable coin route, and they're choosing USDC. They have not been very friendly with Tether, so it makes sense for them to get cozy with USDC. Also, USDC is, at least they are accepted by regulators, at least in the United States. So it might be, you know, by doing this, might give Binance a nod for being re-enabled to do business in the United States. But the question is, why go 100% into a stablecoin? Aren't they bullish on Bitcoin, right? Because, like, if, say, Bitcoin runs up hard, right? And even if there's an event that requires to tap into their $1 billion reserves that they have here, and it gets drained significantly because it's 100% tied to the melting ice cube that is the US dollar. So if Bitcoin runs up, it could really cause a massive strain into this if there's a requirement to draw from this. And it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility. I mean, we're expecting rates to be cut within the next year. And what happens to the price of Bitcoin if that happens? Well, numbers goes up significantly. So I'm looking at this move by Binance. It seems a little odd that you're doing this. And I can't put my finger in it as to why I'm cautious or concerned about it. But again, it's another one when I'm smelling smoke here. And I think there's a fire somewhere that needs to be uncovered. But where it is and what it is, I don't know. But something's fucked up with this whole situation.
I'm not sure either. I've been thinking a little bit more about stables and what they mean as far as surveillance. And like, I mean, this is it's a deep subject. And I know it's a bit, you know, a bit far afield from where we just were talking about like the Binance thing, but I'm starting to get a bad feeling about stables that I didn't have like 2 weeks ago. And I don't know, I know, you know, we've already talked about David Bailey a lot. We'll talk about the other Bitcoin magazine gent, Mark Goodwin, who is the editor of Bitcoin magazine, the magazine that produces Bitcoin culture stories. Okay. Not Bitcoin magazine, the company. There's a, you know, whatever wall between them. We'll talk about that next week. But Mark has been putting out a lot of stuff about the dangers of stables as they relate to CBDCs. And when I hear Binance hopping on this, Binance is a company that was in a boatload of trouble, like what, 8 months ago? And suddenly they're like not, they don't seem to be in the crosshairs at all anymore. Moving to stables to me tells me that someone is pressuring them to get out of these other tokens and into something that's easy to track, easy to stop, easy to freeze and influence and all these other things. Doesn't that seem like the direction this is going to you? Or am I reading too much into that? Like they're suddenly not in the crosshairs. This guy was fucking talking about, there was like prison floating around for CZ, you know, a year ago. And now I haven't heard his name in 6 months. What happened? Good. Yeah, but like Len, the company is no longer, like no one's concerned about this anymore. No one's like, how did this happen so fast? And now you're telling me that these guys are moving out of quote unquote crypto into, well,
what else could be done? Because they've been sued already by what entity? They've been sued. They've been shut down in the United States. Like what else? And CZ has been jailed. Like what else? What other news could come out from this? They, you know, they jailed their CEO. They kicked them out of the country. And, right? Like, the fuck? And not so just that. Right? Like what's left here? And you always hear another country that says you can't have Binance do business over there. I mean, it's just, it, you know, these are smaller countries.
They're a black sheep for sure.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. Maybe you're
like, as far as like, I think I am, because as far as like protecting your company's assets, why would you go into a stable? It just doesn't,
I know.
It doesn't make sense unless you're being forced to. And if you're being forced to, presumably the reason they're forcing it is because they exert some level of control over it. And that's, Mark is talking about that a lot. And I've been thinking about this, reading his posts. I actually ordered his book, The Bitcoin Dollar, which I don't think touches on that too much, but like, I want to learn more about this. And Whitney Webb has talked about this too. And her and Mark are doing a lot of shows together now for this reason. I think there's a lot of overlap in this, like, control state apparatus, CBDCs, and stables. And the relationship is not super clear yet, but it's getting more clear by the day. It's not pretty. And this is another, to me, it's another signpost. Like, you're being forced to, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make nothing. It doesn't smell right. You know, it doesn't smell right.
I think you and I agree there's something fishy here. I think we're looking at it from different angles, but either way, something's fucked up. And I wouldn't be surprised if some news comes out and we could tie it to this event and say, yeah,
like,
you
what?
Know what? I
mean, like what? Give me an example. No,
I don't. Again, like, I have no clue, but there's something fishy here that I cannot put my finger on exactly what the fuck it is. But there's something that just doesn't jive right with me. But
no,
same with you. Anyways, Joey, I think that's it. We're done with Bitcoin stories, I guess, for now.
Sure. Yeah.
Fuck, let's talk about in the notable news.
Oh man, tons of notable stuff happening in the north and internationally this week. So hang out if you're on YouTube. Just hang in there. I see there's 159 people on YouTube and Spaces. Spaces, Len, has become a very popular place to watch this show. I think there's like more than 100 people watching on Spaces. So, definitely. So if you're live with us, hang in. If you're not, stay tuned for the second half of the episode tomorrow.
And don't be a fucking cuck.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.